seat is risen favor
in everything I do.
Amen. Good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to be here this morning. Did you have a good week this past week? Well, it was good because you're still here. And if it was bad, you need to let it go. Amen. Let's sing a song this morning. How to reach the... Sing it with me. Men of every birth, all an answer. Jesus gave a key. Yes, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw me unto me. Yes, let's lift him up. Let's lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. Yes, let's lift him up. Oh, let's lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. Yes, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. Amen. Amen. If you're visiting this morning, you are honored guests. And we thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're joining us by way of television this morning, by way of live stream, hello to you and welcome to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We hope and pray that we can say something that may prick your heart, that may touch your heart, that you may want to know more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have a prayer request, if you need to talk to someone, call the number on your screen and we'll be more than happy to minister to you or answer any questions that you might have. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I've entitled the lesson this morning, How Much? How Much? I want you to meet me in the book of Old Testament, the book of First Chronicles. Old Testament is written for our learning, that we through patience, comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Written for our learning, and there is yet much to learn. Yet much to learn. First Chronicles chapter 29, beginning at verse number 1. It's a teaching lesson. I hope you stay with me this morning. Amen. Then King David said to the entire assembly, so it was an assembly of all of God's people. My son Solomon, who had been anointed to be replace David as king, whom God alone has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great. God told David, you're not going to build my temple. Blood is on your hands, and I'm not, you're not going to build it. But your son, Solomon, is going to build it. David is still living. He knows the task is great. So he wants to help his son as much as he can before he leaves, before he dies and moves on. But he's talking to all the people, preparing them for the leadership of his son. For the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. God had a designated place where he wanted his people to gather, that they could worship, that he could be worshiped. That was under the old covenant. It was a designated place. And we have a place that God meets us, even under the new covenant. We'll say more about that in just a second. Now, with all my ability, David speaking of himself, I have provided for the house of my God the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and inlaid stones, stones of antimony and stones of various colors and all kinds of precious stones and alabaster in abundance. God had a house, didn't he? It seems, even studying the Bible, and especially under the old covenant, God had exquisite taste. And he wanted things that were to be done for him to be done right, to done with great honor. You see, all of these are material goods. God selected the goods and told him what to do. Listen to this. It says, then David said in verse 3, moreover, in my delight in the house of God, the treasure I have of gold and silver, I give. Everybody say give. To the house of my God, over and above all that I've already provided for the holy temple, David says. So, then he names, then he goes, listen to this. Namely, 3,000 talents of gold. Now, most scholars would agree that a talent was weighed from 75 to 90 pounds. The Hebrew and the Greek gives a little different value of the talent, but I was reading, and it said that one talent would today be worth from $800,000 to $900,000. One talent. David said, I gave 3,000 talents of gold. Now, some of you mathematicians put the math to that. That would be billions of dollars if you put the math to it. 3,000, just the talents of gold and the gold of Ophrah. That was where the royalties go. It was known, a place known for beautiful gold, and royals wore that gold. 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the building, of gold for the things of gold and of silver for the things of silver. That is, for all the work done by craftsmen. Then he switches gears. He says, this is what I've done. This is what I've dedicated. This is what I've given. This is what I have commissioned. What I had, and then even above and beyond what I've had. Then he turns to the people and says, who then is willing to consecrate? The word consecrate means to separate. Who is willing to make holy? Who is willing to set yourself apart? Now, see, understand in the Old Testament, there were offerings and contributions to the Lord that were commanded. This is not talking about that. Then there were offerings that were free will. You give it of your own free will offering. See, the commandment offerings, go to the book of Numbers in chapter 18, verse 21. The commandment offerings. To the sons of Levi, this would be the priestly tribe who was commissioned to handle all the ornaments of the temple and offer all of the sacrifices. Behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting. That's the tabernacle and handling all the things. He said, I've given the tithe. Where did the tithe come from? Well, go to Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Leviticus 27:30. Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to, see, the children of Israel, the tithe, they were commanded to give. Tithe meant tenth. It meant tenth. So the tenth of everything that they had was to be given to God. It was understood. It wasn't that you didn't have a choice. You gave that. See a little further. Deuteronomy 12, verse 11. Deuteronomy 12, verse 11. Then it came about that the place in which the Lord your God will choose for his name to dwell, there you shall bring all that I command you. See, they had a designated place that they were to bring these offerings, to bring this tithe. And this was a command of God. Then he goes on to say, burnt offerings, that would be the meat offerings that would be burned at the altar. And your sacrifices. So burnt offerings and your sacrifices. Then it says your tithes and the contribution of your hand and all your choice votive. Votives is an offering that is associated with a vow that you make. Lord, if you do this, I vow to give you. Well, if you made a vow to God, you better keep your vow. especially under the old covenant. I don't have time to read all through it. I'm just mentioning offerings. It says this. And all your choice votive offerings which you will vow to the Lord. So these offerings were commanded. God commanded them. But what we're reading in Chronicles, in First Chronicles, this offering is simply specifically for the temple that God would have to be built. And so beyond the other offerings, I'll read another example. Some say, well, that's not talking to the Israelites. You'll see in just a moment. Go back to First Chronicles, chapter 29. It says, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Then the rulers of the fathers' households and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the commanders of thousands and of hundreds with the overseers over the king's work offered willingly. Everybody say willingly. Then listen, I love this because the heads of the household, the fathers, the leaders, the commanders, and that's how it is. Even today, those of us that have influence, we need to teach our children what's right. And a lot of times, people will just follow our lead. And that's what they did. The men stood up, the fathers stood up, the commander stood up, and they say, we're going to consecrate ourselves, and we're going to give to this great work because it was for the house of God. And the beautiful thing is they did it willingly. Didn't have to keep beating them over the head and making them go, you going to give. David could have said, yes, everybody, you going to give this money. But he didn't. What he did was he led by example first. And he gave of his all. And he gave even more than he had. And they followed his example. Oh, how beautiful. Then look at verse 7. And for the service of the house of God, they gave 5,000 talents. That whole group. The temple was a sight to see. 10,000 derricks of gold. A derrick would be a gold coin. They gave gold coins. He says, and 10,000 talents of silver and 18,000 talents of brass and 100,000 talents of iron. Then it says, whoever possessed precious stones gave them to the treasure of the house of God in care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly. For they made their offering to the Lord. Listen to this. Our theme for the year with a whole. Thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And it made the people happy. And then the scripture says, and King David also rejoiced greatly. But that had to be something. Yeah. They knew what it was for. They knew God was greatly pleased. And they offered it willing. Turn to Exodus chapter 35, verse 4. Exodus 35, 4. Listen to in the heart of the Israelites. Listen to this. Moses spoke to all the congregation. And this is also another free will offering. And this in First Chronicles, this was the offering for the temple. Here in this is the offering for the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a temporary tent of dwelling. And it's where the Israelites say, God was in his presence and he met them here at this tabernacle. And listen, God told Moses just what he wanted. And Moses related to the people. And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying in verse number 4, Exodus 35, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, and blue, and purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair. Now notice this. This is not talking about their tithe, their tenth, their burnt offerings, and their sacrifices. This offering is specifically for to be used on the tabernacle and the elements of the tabernacle. You read it. Read all the rest of it for yourself. So, but notice this. This is where God commanded Moses to command the people, but he wanted him to make it known what he wanted. But he says, I want them to give, whoever gives, give it from a willing heart. So if you don't want to give, don't give. Amen. Even under the old covenant, look at verse number 21, verse 21. Everyone whose heart stirred him. And we, you know, we had a serious conversation. We with the elders, we've been talking about a lot of things that we want to try to do. And the elders are the overseers of this flock. And they see everything. They know what's going on. They know how much we have, how much money we have. They know what's in the bank. And they are concerned because you know, brother, I'm thinking of all these big plans, which brother, that costs money. And I'm glad I serve some elders who are diligent and who watch. But also we got to have some faith. We got to have some faith because, see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, if all we're going to do is just what we have, with what we have, with what we can see, that's not faith. Amen, somebody? And, you know, and I know there are some stingy people in the world. Notice I said in the world, not in the church. Some people just have a hard time giving. Some people, all they think about is me, myself, and I. And some people don't have a heart for other folk. Everybody need to make it for themselves. Lord have mercy. And even under here, he says, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's work is going to be done. You can hold on to everything you got, however long you want to, but the Lord's work is still going to be done. Because you're always going to have some people who have a heart for God. He says this, he says, came and they brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. Then all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signets and rings and bracelets and all articles of God. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? That you had people who were concerned about the Lord's work, who as for teaching's sake, understand this is not their regular, this is not the tithes. This is not the burnt offerings. This is not the sacrifices. That was a commandment God gave them. They knew it. They understood that. This was extra. And he said, I want them to give it willingly. And certainly this pleased God. Now go back to Chronicles. I want you to see something. Go back to the First Chronicles, chapter 29, beginning at verse 14. And we're going to finish reading what day. After this pleased David, so David, he prayed a prayer. And listen to this beautiful prayer where David prayed to God. He says, but who am I, Lord? And who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? David said, look, you know, the people decided to give, he gave, and David says, he says this, for all things come from you, and from your hand we've given. You understand, we do understand that everything we have is God's anyway. And it's like we doing God a favor. Oh, God, I'm going to give you a little bit of my money. Like, Lord, you don't understand. But David understood. He said, Lord, we giving this, all of this, but it's yours anyway. And we holding on to it like it's all of ours. Then it goes on to say, verse 15, for we are sojourners before you. And I know we're here, and I know sometimes we're just trying to get everything right while we're here, but do we really understand that we are just travelers? I mean, see, from the youngest to the old, I know, get it right, get you a career, get you a job, try to get stable, but understand, we're not here forever. We are just sort. We are traveling in the, on this journey, and it, and you know we sing that song. It won't be very long. I don't care how old you get. Like time, you all. The oldest person in here, in their mind, they say, "Man, how where did all the time?" Just like the saying on the seashore. He goes on to say, he says, you before you, and notice he says, we're sojourners and tenants. Okay, I'm not renting. Yes, you are. You're just a tenant. Yeah, yeah. I got my mortgage. That's the wrong one. Yeah, you got the wrong mortgage. We're not talking about that mortgage. As all our fathers were, our days on the earth are like a shadow. There is no hope. Then verse 16. Oh Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all, everybody say all is yours. And then notice this, if you listen to verse 17, notice this. Since I know, David says, oh my God, that you try the heart. See, everything's God's. Every now and then, God want to see where your heart, where our heart is. And you know what? You know what? Folks say the most sensitive thing we possess is in our pocketbook. Yeah, I could take a. You listen. You see where a man's treasure is. There's heart. You can tell so much by what we do with our money. That's just the truth. And David recognized, he said, Lord, I know you try our hearts. Because our heart reveal who we really are. It reveals where our allegiance is. It reveals where our trust is. That some people are not here this morning because their heart is not with God this morning. Amen? Yeah, and he says, and you delight in uprightness. And then he goes on to say, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now, with joy, I have seen your people, not only I, your people who are present here, make their offerings willingly. It pleases God when we offer willingly to him. David, that's what made David so happy. He says, Lord, I understand. I recognize where my blessings come from. Yeah. And I recognize that nothing good that I have has come from anybody else but you. You already own everything. It's already yours. And Lord, even as I give it, it's like, I'm giving this. It's already yours. But I just want to show you, Lord, that I am yours. Yours comes before mine. And now I'm so happy because all these people have given this willingly. I didn't have to beat them over the head. I didn't have to command them. I didn't have to say, you have to give all of this. They gave it willingly. Amen. And I know it pleases you. Oh, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, preserve this. Listen to this. Forever in the intentions of the heart of your people. And direct their heart to you. And give to my son Solomon, Lord have mercy, a perfect heart to keep all your commandments, your testimonies, your statutes, and to do them all and build the temple for which I have made provision. Oh, he prayed for his son. Oh, please. Help his heart to be in the right place. That's why it's a prayer I pray for my children, Lord. You know, you teach your children, and you know, they do what you want to sometimes for the most part, but you know, when they get from around you, they might do anything. You know, what a parent prays is, Lord, I hope some of this teaching, I hope some of this ground, and I hope they understand. I hope it's within them. And I hope they will do it because they know it's right and their heart is right. See, because sometimes people do things from the wrong motives. See, and I would imagine that sometime when we give, it's from the wrong motives. Yeah, see, I would imagine even in this day, there probably was some folk in that audience say, well, If you give, I give. Oh, I don't know what they're going to, who holding the money? They always asking for something. See, first of all, we giving to God. Because it's the commandment of God. Sometimes you don't know who going to do what with money. But it'll reveal itself down the line. But yeah, that's the old covenant. I want you to show me how much I'm supposed to. I remember the title of this lesson is how. That's the question people ask. You know, which question we were asking in our meeting. We talking about giving and we're talking about all the things we want to do. So we do all this. You know, people got to give, and they are so right. Question: how do you teach people how much to give? Let's go to the Bible. We under the new covenant now. You know the scriptures say it's the new covenant is a better covenant. Amen. Established on better promises. I know, because in the New Testament they don't say nothing about the tent. I'm going to read this. Let me read what it said. Turn to Luke chapter 9. How much did they give under the new covenant? Luke chapter 19, verse 8. Just give a few examples and make some points, and I'm going to sit down. Zacchaeus stopped by Zacchaeus and said to the Lord. He stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord," I wish I had time to read the whole passage about Zacchaeus who sought God, sought Jesus, and after he recognized who he was, he knew who he was. He says, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I give to the poor." See, how much did they give in the New Testament? How about half? This what this man gave. He says, "Half of my goods I give to." But hold up, bro. That's a little bit too much for me right there. Yeah. You remember this. God is most pleased with the heart when the heart is right. And so he said, and notice what else he said. He says, "And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times." That's in the New Testament, isn't it? Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Talking about Zacchaeus' house, because he too is a son of Abraham. He says, Jesus recognized? Your heart is right. You want to please God. And I'm not saying that, but are you saying that money is tied into our heart? See, our money, you know, they say a fool is a fool with $1 or $10 million. You know why they say that? Because, see, a fool, money just magnifies your personality, who we really are. See, you don't just all of a sudden get wise just because you have a whole lot of money. Now it may help you to make some bigger mistakes, and listen to Luke chapter 21 verse 1. Luke 21 verse 1. "And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all out of the surplus put.'" Into the offering, out of their surplus put into the offering. "But she out of her poverty put in," listen this, "all that she had to live on." Now, so what are you saying, Brother Gary? We need to give all, we need to get our heart right. See, it's not about how much money we have. We have different income levels in the Lord's church, and some people are able to give more. You can have $20 million and be stingy as you want to be. I gave $5,000 to the Lord. Really? How much did that yacht cost? How much does your car cost? How much do you spend on recreation that you don't want to tell nobody? I just asked a question. The question is, where is your heart when it comes to none? And we're talking about God's work in God's kingdom. Right. When we're giving for the purpose of building the kingdom, we're not talking about putting money in some brother's hand. We're talking about giving to the cause of Christ. Amen. And this woman, because she gave all, and a lot of people were giving a lot of money during that time. New covenant. Jesus was just observing to say she gave all she had to live on. So should I give all I have to live on every Sunday? I wouldn't say you should. We got to live. But you know what? Sometimes our heart might compel us to put our whole. Now, I knew that's where you were getting, Brother Gary. Listen, I'm talking about, is God good? And I know some of us struggling, going different places, but if your heart compels you that I'm thankful to God. You know what? I've been doing all this stuff for myself, and I got this, and I got that, and I got a car over here. I haven't even driven in 3 months. You know, I'm feeling pretty good. I got all these blessings. And God is so good. You know what? And these little pennies I've been. And sometimes I'm mad when I have to write them. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Acts 2, 44. Listen to this. We're in the new covenant. This is when the church was just begun. Acts 2:44. And all those who had believed were together. Scripture saying had all things in common. Now they were from different countries all over Galilee and other parts of the country. They come there for Pentecost, to celebrate Pentecost, and the church had established. They didn't know it at the time. Now salvation has been brought to the Jews, and they're happy and they're rejoicing, but they're away from home. So they're in a different place. So maybe perhaps they stay here longer than they were planning on staying. It says they had all things in common. And then it says, and they began selling their property and possessions. And listen to what else it says. And sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Is that a beautiful church? What if we could say in here, the Fieldwater Church of Christ, that everybody's needs were being met? Oh, you taking that out of context. Not really. That was the time when the church was established here. All these people came together, some having more substance, some not. Some living locally where so you got all these people together. We know according to Acts chapter 2, 3,000 of them got baptized on the day of Pentecost. 3,000, and then the church kept growing. So all of these need, somebody, people need housing, people need food, people need clothes. Now we're talking about taking care of needs, not pleasures, not wants. No, we're not talking about keeping cable on and paying for your cigarettes and 3 pair of shoes. You can't wear but 1 pair of shoes at a time, right? But this is what the Bible says. They had all things in common. You know why they had all things coming? Because some of the people there saw the need. And so some people have more than others. Some people sold their possession. Oh, no, bro. You think I'm going to sell my property, my acres out there? I'm not, Brother Gary. You can stop talking. Well, we know you're not the one, you know, your heart is not there. Keep your little cows and your acres. Keep them. Yeah. The scriptures say don't give grudgingly or of, you forgot who owned them cows, right? Don't forget that. This is not an indictment. I'm just saying that here, this is principle. Sometimes we don't even think like this, is that the church, everything, people, all the needs were being met because some people sacrificed and gave more than others. And it blessed the church. Blessed the world. Sometimes here, you know, I'm telling you, I hear some things You know, you heard me say before, I don't believe that there is any activity that we have at the church where it's an activity that's church-wide that every member who want to participate in it should be able to participate. You've heard me say that before. Now, it's sensitive because sometimes we have these retreats, and the retreats cost money. And, you know, I believe we're going to do something we need to do. The Bible says whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Notice it's as unto the Lord. And I believe when we do things, they ought to be able to glorify God. They ought to be able to build up the church and create an opportunity where somebody can be saved. We're not just having a retreat for us to go down there and laugh and play and get massages and be happy. Oh, it was good. That's not the reason for a retreat. But if we're going to have one, everybody that who have a desire to go ought to be able to go. That's just, but some people take advantage. Some people don't have the money. And some people, you know, you got to pay for something. Well, how is everybody going to go? You know how everybody would be able to go? If some people gave more. Notice, people that have the heart. You know, one, I don't know, I was talking, I don't know if I should say this or not, but you know, I think last year we had the marriage retreat and we lowered the cost so everybody could go. That we felt, you know, and the elders agreed to it. Thank God they agreed to it. And we had more people go then than we've ever had go before. And they were happy. I was happy. I think the church was happy. And I think that that's how it should be. But you know, I was told that some people were upset. Well, don't. Well, yeah, you talking about me? I don't know who I'm talking about. I don't know who said it or who felt it. Why are they going? I don't need to be giving my money for somebody going up there and having a good time at the tree. You know, I just give my money to some. Really? That's why you're not going. That's why you don't want to, because you don't want to help somebody. Because you, well, bro, you know, people need to take care of their money better. That's true. I agree with that. Some folk mismanage, some folk pilfer off of other folk. That's been happening, right? You know what is going to keep on happening. Well, I'm talking about our attitude, what the scriptures teach from God's point of view. Now, let me read some more passages. I'm not on a pet peeve, but the Bible says they had all things coming because some people gave more. They did. Listen to Acts chapter 4, verse 34. He says, for Acts 4, 34, for there was not a needy person among them. That's what the scripture says. So bro, what that mean, Brother Gary? That nobody, everybody needs what's being, does the Bible lie? For all who are owners of land, of houses, will sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles. Well, Gary, see, that's why I have a problem. See, I don't trust some of these brothers. Yeah, I know. The brother's not perfect, that's true. But they are the elders that we ordained, that we've chosen with the help of God, done it God's way. So you know what? If they don't take care of business, guess who's going to handle them? God going to handle. You see, you can't be God. And see, Booker, I'll give my money. If that couple right there, if they go, I ain't. You're going too far. You. Let me finish reading. And lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. That's Bible. And Joseph, let me drop down to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, so I have time to finish. 2 Corinthians 8, 12. And we haven't said nothing about a tenth, nothing about a tithe. But the tithe under the old covenant was the big, that was understood. And we're talking about the heart. Listen there. For if the readiness is present, It is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. Listen, that's why the woman who gave those mites, that's why it was more acceptable to God, because her heart, her mind was that I want to please God with what I have. Listen to this. It says, for this, notice this, and understand, this is for all of us. For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction. In other words, some people that have more are always looking at other folk where they need to get it themselves, and you always want the rich to take care of the poor, brother Gary. It's not easing the burden of those who do not have. And it's not for your affliction. But listen to what else the Bible says. It says, but by way of equality, God is fair. He says equality. And then verse 14, at this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, and there may be equality. He says, now listen, right now you got the money. Right now you are blessed. Right now things are going your way, but don't you understand? It don't have to always stay that way. Just like you're blessed right now. Oh, bro, you know, yeah, I am pretty blessed. Listen, you can have a child that goes awry, and you got to spend $200,000 in court on lawyers for that child. Take all your little change you had in the bank. You can get sick, and hospital bills will take all of your money. So don't you get so comfortable with what you have right now. And don't be so stingy and so judgmental on people who don't have. And those of us that don't have, stop misusing what you do have. Stop begging for everything. God wants us always to do our own, do our part, and he'll bless us. And he puts a responsibility on both parties so we can have some. You don't need the storm came and Hurricane Harvey came and turned our city in turmoil. But thank God for some good people, some good churches, some giving hearts, and people poured out. You know, I went to speak at a church this past summer, right before the end of the year, and they gave us a $25,000 check for the Fifth Ward Church of Christ that we've been using for different things that were going on during the storm. And they were so happy to give, and they said, you know, Brother Gary, we were not down there. We watching the news and all this thing going on. You know, we said, you know what? What if this happened to us? And it could happen to anybody. And stop being so, you know, stop being so, you know, even in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15, under the old covenant, God forgave every 7 years, God forgave everybody's debt. And I believe that's where our credit system now. They tell me now, after you have a bankruptcy, and after 7 years or something on your credit, after seven, they forgive it. So we need to be more lenient ourselves with folks. So give people that. Sometimes people just get in situations. But some of us need to get out these situations and don't keep getting back in these situations that we always asking for something all the time. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Now this I say. He who sows sparingly. This is the principles under the new covenant. You can be stingy if you want to. Shall reap also sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he purposed in his heart. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The scriptures say God loves somebody who, the kids need something for camp? Oh yeah, I'm on. Somebody who loves to help others. That's what giving is about. Somebody who loves the Lord's work. Somebody who loves preachers. Somebody who loves, somebody, God loves givers. And he blesses, the scripture says, more blessed You know, that we all going to have people who want to receive, but it's more blessed. It's more blessed to give. So, Brother, you still haven't told me how much? I can only read what the scriptures say, maybe make some suggestions. I will say this. Let me read another passage. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, because I got to stop. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God, for the ministry of this servant is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgiving to God. Yeah. How much? I'll tell you what, you know what, I've just decided for myself that I'm not going to let the Pharisees, the Israelites, who were commanded to give a tenth of their money, and many of them gave well above a tenth of their money to the Lord. It's not that I'm trying to outdo them, but you know what I say to me? I thank God that I'm not under the old covenant, for one. Thank God that I don't have to drag a bull, a goat, to worship service, to worship God. I thank God that I don't have to look at the list of all of those rules he had, because all the rules God had under the old covenant, you better have them posted, because he had a whole lot of them. I'm glad I don't have to look at a list on the wall to tell me, you know, you can't have bacon this morning, Brother Gary. No rabbit for you this morning. Lord have mercy. All the food you couldn't eat. I'm glad I don't have to celebrate the Pentecost and the Feast of the Tabernacles. I'm glad, Lord have mercy, let me hush, because some other things under the old covenant, I'm glad. And we sing a song, there is much to do, there's work on every hand, hark the cry for help comes ringing through the land. And I hope you realize that this is for members of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We do have our elders are forward, their vision. We're a church that we have numerous ministries, numerous things that we want to do. And it takes money to do all of that. You know, it takes money. And I hope we can get to the point where that nobody has need. And see, I've shared this with the elders. Say, you know what, we ought to see our budget right now. If you look in the bulletin, I think we have to take up. I should have got the clear answer to this. I think for our budget, we have to take up 40. Let's see, where is somebody? 43. What is it? Let me see something. What does it say? What our goal is? Okay. See, like last Sunday, we took up $32,527. That's weekly. Maybe I shouldn't say. The elders might get nervous when I say that out loud, because we don't want nobody to try to take it while we're in. Well, nobody's not going to take it while we're in here, because we have people who would take care of you if you have that on your mind. Okay. Outside and inside. Amen. But I believe that we're supposed to take up 41,000 per week to meet our budgetary. Now, so we fluctuate. Now it's 32. I've seen some Sundays we have 50,000, 45. But when it gets below that, then we get real nervous, because we want the bills. But if we could get up to about $55,000 to $60,000 per week, and you go, yeah, that's a lot. You know what they say the average person gives to the Lord a week? You know what they say? $17. Or across the board. $17. I'm broke here. I give $100 where somebody else don't. Some people get checks. Some people get checks, and you know what? They don't give nothing to the Lord. Who are you talking about? I don't know. And so I'm saying, but I'm thinking, if we can get to $50,000 to $50,000, then when we have things like the retreats and all that, we can charge just a minimal amount and steal everybody. We can have all things common like they did in the first century. And all we have to say is, we having this, all we need you to do is bring $100 and bring $100, and if you want to go, you can. And if you don't go, it's just because, now, you know, I don't want to go be with them people. They'd be on you. How much do you love God? If you're here today, you're not a child of God, you need to be. It's, you come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins, you can be added to the church. It's a beautiful family of God where he wants everybody taken care of. If you're here and you have something you want us to pray about, we'll pray about it. If you have something on your heart, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Have you been to Jesus for the
cleansing? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his graces? Are you washed in the blood
of the Lamb?
Yes, are you washed
in the blood?